Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Some sins are very, very private sins. That is why Christ has provided through his mandate to forgive sins, given to his apostles, handed down through ordination to pastors, the authority to forgive private sins privately, private confession, absolution. It plays a big role and should play a big role in helping those struggle with the sin of pornography. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Joining us to address that topic, Pastor Christopher Heaton. He's pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fulton, Missouri, and author of the book Mentioning the Unmentionables, Naming the Corrosive Threat to Our Lives Together and Our Faithful Response in the Body of Christ. Pastor Heaton, welcome back.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
How does a pastor broach this subject of the sin of pornography in preaching and teaching?
Well, it's a good question. It's one that I think kind of gets answered for itself if you follow the lectionary readings, which some people follow a three-year series and some a one-year series. But there are several opportunities just kind of following the readings through the year that will give you an opening to talk about it. And specifically with, let's say, the three-year series, you've got 1 Corinthians 5, you've got Galatians 5, that come up, I think, in the one-year series. So if you just kind of are looking around at your opportunities to preach that the text that your people are going to hear, I think if you're paying attention and looking for an opportunity, you'll find them in the lectionary.
On the other side of the coin, how does a Christian layperson broach the subject with their pastor of struggling with the sin of pornography?
Yeah, so in my experience, it was just meeting with someone privately and just having a conversation, and I was not prepared for what the person revealed to me, but it was in the context of having a conversation of something they're struggling with. I think, you know, when you do some Bible study or teaching that deals with some of these topics, I think it gets back to your first question too. If you let people know that this is something that pastors should be concerned with and interested in, it also alerts people to the opportunity to come forward to you. And then as I've done this more, of course, more people have gotten a sense that I write about it, that I talk about it, so they feel more comfortable. But I think just getting over that initial sense of uncomfortability with approaching your pastor with a sin that is shameful and maybe hard to talk about, you have to signal through your preaching, teaching that you are available for those discussions. And in my case, it just came up in just kind of private settings and talking about struggles they had.
So the approach that we begin with kind of in terms of the pastor's responsibility to forgive sins, tell us what private confession and absolution is and how it's really ideal for not only other sins, but in particular, the sin that often is kept secret.
Yeah, you know, it was something in the process of writing this book and reflecting more deeply on it. I had been doing it with a handful of people, the rite of individual confession and absolution, but I was reflecting on the fact that even myself, I didn't really know a thing existed in my as I was a layperson until my mid-30s. I was kind of flipping through the hymnal, the Lutheran service book, and noticed it and realized, oh, wow, this is what Luther's talking about in the Small Catechism. So the rite is there to be used. And what interested me is when you look at the rite, it is one of the few, maybe only rite that is specifically written to the penitent. So it's actually kind of the penitent is driving the activity. That surprised me. And so what that says is that this is for the service of people who have burdened consciences, who want to hear the comfort of the gospel, but have specific sins, in this case maybe pornography or sexual sin, that they want to get off their chest in a confidential way, in an anonymous way, so with respect to the rest of the congregation. And then they are able, just by following the rite itself, they're able to do that. And as you know, and as your listeners should know, Luther was against the practice of enumerating every single sin because it's just an impossibility. And so the rite itself can allow you to just make a general confession of your sins, as we do in the corporate confession in the service of preparation at the beginning of the divine service. But there is that language in there that allows for people to address a very specific sin. In fact, the language is in the rite is, what troubles me particularly is that, and then it's open for the penitent to articulate the specifics, and the pastor then can kind of guide the conversation. But it really is driven by the penitent who is confessing to really talk about as specifically as they want to what is troubling them.
There is also, after the absolution, I believe, in the rite, the opportunity for the pastor to address that particular situation with pastoral counsel. How is that going to sound when someone says, and one of the sins that particularly troubles me is my interaction with pornography?
Well, right. So it everything is grounded in the mercy of Christ. And so it flowing out of that is the conversation of what comes next. And this is in part why I wanted to write this book. I did want to go back just a second. The conclusion to the confession says this specific phrase, I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. So in a sense, what the pastor is following up with is that doing better. What might that be like? What hit me initially is one of the first people I helped with this in private confession absolution was very powerful, very meaningful when you pronounce the gift of the gospel and you pronounce the forgiveness of sins in Jesus to that person, and they are, the burden that they carried in with them is gone in that moment. There's a sense of relief and comfort, which is so important. And so we went our way, and we had an appointment even for the next time, I think a week later. Well, I get a call 3 days later, and the call was, Pastor, I am being tempted to fall. I am tempted right now in this moment. What do I do? Now, we had some kind of general conversations, but we hadn't really talked concrete, practices or, what to do when the moment hits you. That's when we talked through the situation and I did as best I could, but I realized I didn't really have a resource or a game plan, so to speak, to help that person in that moment. And so we together started talking through some things that they could do. And then it kind of opened the door for not just the necessary absolution that comes from the rite of confession, but like the doing better part, like the in between. What do I do with my phone? Who can I tell that I can be accountable? And so the pastor, by virtue of having this relationship, then becomes an accountability partner, becomes an ally, and someone who can actually help them form new habits.
So let's talk about that particular, you call it creational rehabituation. What does that mean?
Well, it is a mouthful. I mentioned this last time I was on, but it is speaking to the fact that we are creatures of God. So it speaks to that relationship. God is the creator. We are the creature. And that is a foundational relationship in the faith. It also speaks to the fact that we are made up of different component parts. But we are not, so the sin of pornography is not just a sin of one body part, for instance. It is involving the entire person. And so that's the creational aspect. You're looking at the sins of the flesh as well as the sins of the heart. It's lust, concupiscence, and then acting out in the body, but it's also then, you know, worldview issues. It's things of that nature. And then the rehabituation is interesting because just like we are created, we form habits through repetition. And so the rehabituation is actually speaking to creating new neural pathways. I was just reflecting on some research I'd done before I wrote the book, and our brains and our persons are plastic, if you will. So we create bad habits through repetition. We also are designed by God through repetition to create new good habits. And so that is training the whole person out of an engagement with sexual sin and pornography and into something towards God's good and his will for human flourishing. I was reflecting on Deuteronomy 6 this week, Todd, and for your listeners, Deuteronomy 6 is known as the Great Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jesus references this. It was the foundational kind of creed of the Old Testament people. Well, if you go on with what Moses says there, so we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with our soul and with all our might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And then he says this, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall speak of them when you sit in the house and walk by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise. Well, the Hebrew verb there is very interesting. It's shanan, and it's not a common verb, and except for that instance. In every other usage, a handful of usages in the Old Testament, it means to sharpen a sword or an arrowhead as rubbing it over a whetstone over and over and over again. Well, this is the Christian life of catechesis, a life of faith, a life of sanctification in the Spirit. And so rehabituation is actually kind of taking that sinful pattern and habit and then resharpening that person towards something else, using what God has given us to do so.
Pastor Christopher Heaton is our guest. We're talking about help for those struggling with the sin of pornography. When we come back, something for the eyes, the lips, the hands, the mind, and the heart. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a collection of more than 600 hand-drawn Christian symbols by artist and author Edward Riojas. It's titled A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at IssuesETC.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Those serving in the armed forces want LCMS chaplains. We need courageous pastors to bring the gospel and sacraments to those protecting our nation, along with wise counsel and the peace found only in Christ Jesus. If you are between the age of 26 and 43 and have a heart for ministry in the armed forces, call 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Bethel Lutheran Church in Howard City, Michigan preaches Christ and Him crucified.
At Bethel, God's word of salvation is boldly proclaimed in all its truth, and the sacraments are rightly administered.
These means of grace help us peacefully navigate the craziness of this world. Bethel is centrally located between Grand Rapids and Big Rapids, just 2 miles east of US 131.
Our divine services are at 9:30 a.m. Join us this Sunday to receive God's marvelous gifts of grace.
At Memoria Press, the Simply Classical curriculum is specifically designed for students with significant learning challenges. This complete program includes everything you need for a school, self-contained classroom, tutoring, or homeschool to make a classical Christian education accessible for any child. To learn more, visit us at simplyclassical.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Simply Classical, a beautiful education for any child.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Only the fit survive. This is Ken Ham, head of the ministry behind the powerful Answers Bible curriculum.
Yesterday, we learned that abortion is the new face of eugenics, the idea of people being well-born. For example, most parents given a prenatal diagnosis of a disability or abnormality are pressured to abort, to have their child killed. This means only healthy children are born. But that's just one aspect of the new face of eugenics. You see, reproductive technologies do something similar. They create embryos, babies, and then sort those babies based on genetics, sex, and viability. And those babies that aren't fit enough are thrown away. You know, this is evil. Every human life has value because each person is made in God's image.
Discover more about the value of human life when you visit us at AnswersRadio.com. There's so much more to learn at AnswersRadio.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about help for those struggling with the sin of pornography. Pastor Christopher Heaton is our guest. Pastor Heaton, you talk about something for the eyes, the lips, the hands, the mind, and the heart. Take us through those.
Sure. So, again, parts in light of the whole. I have to credit Pastor Scott Brusick from St. John Wheaton for this approach, and as a conversation I had with him on how he would counsel people with his affliction. So all of the parts, so to speak, kind of have their own role to play, but they all are, you know, kind of part of the, you know, the make up the part of the body. And so we start with the eyes. I want to say this from the outset. Every time I've done this presentation, usually to pastors, I give the disclaimer, prepare to be underwhelmed, because I think we're all trained to expect, we want a magic bullet, we want the hack, we want the thing that is convenient and quick and works. But this is what I'm going to describe and discuss are things that God has given us that takes repetition, but that is quite powerful. So something for the eyes. Readorn the den of iniquity. So what does that mean? Well, as I've helped people, I ask questions, and this is maybe part of the follow-up that you were talking about earlier. I've asked questions, so kind of where is this taking place? What time of day? Where are you? What's going on? And usually there's places people go. So what I suggest is be aware of those places, but also use powerful symbols and artwork to make it into a different space. So hang a crucifix, maybe even right where your eyes would look, that you may see with your eyes the powerful example of Christ's atoning sacrifice as it endures, as he stands crucified and is risen. And that is not just a powerful place for our places of worship and churches and sanctuaries. It is a powerful a symbol for the home. I have in my office a painting that is a Titian's Christ carrying his cross. And in this painting, it is Jesus with the cross post and the beam on his back, the interlocutor behind him urging him forward. And he has turned his face and is facing the viewer. And what you see in the painting is the kind of the right eye of Jesus looking directly at you. Now, I have this in my office, so it's a reminder to me to get, you know, if I'm goofing off or not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, Jesus is watching me. And so I'm always reminded to, you know, get back to work or whatever the case would be. But I mean, to someone who struggles with this, talking about using a painting such as this to place in the location where they commit their sin, and that it is a powerful reminder as Jesus looks at that person and speaks the gospel just through this beautiful artwork and says, I am bearing this cross for you, as you look at the painting and see the crown of thorns pressed into his flesh and blood dripping down, and Jesus bearing this load of the entire sin of the entire world on his back as he goes to his crucifixion. And just even something like that is a powerful thing to kind of retrain the eyes to look at something else, but also to recast that place that you used to go to for pornography into something new and different. Something for the lips. This is, again, prepare to be underwhelmed. This is prayer. And people may say, well, of course, prayer. And I'm talking not just about devotional prayer, regular prayer that we all should engage in, but I'm talking about prayer in the moment. This was kind of an aha moment with me when I considered how often when we are confronted with temptation, how powerful it is when we put the name of Jesus on our lips out loud. I'm convinced that Satan cannot stand to hear the name of Jesus spoken out loud. And in those moments, the powerful just prayer of help me, Lord, be with me, Lord, have mercy on me, even parts of the liturgy that we would turn into personal prayer in the moment of temptation, quite powerful. And just bringing that to top of mind to people to remind them that, hey, this is probably what St. Paul means by praying constantly or pray without ceasing. It's not that we necessarily are locked in a room 24/7 praying, but that in every situation we are invited to pray to God, thanksgiving and praise and praying for wisdom, but also praying for deliverance from temptation. Something for the lips, then, as well as prayer, also includes memorization and recitation of scriptures, both the act of doing that and the fact of it. When I was in the seminary, I was convicted by the fact that most of my classmates, including myself, we knew more movie quotes than we did scripture. I mean, I'd be talking to my classmates and we could quote movies left and right, but, you know, scripture not so much. And so just trying to correct that, undertaking the process of just committing scripture to memory is so powerful. And just doing that devotionally is just a great practice for anybody. But then what happens is when you have these texts embedded in you and you walk around with them, when something happens, when you are tempted, when you are encountering, you know, lustful thoughts, to be able to say Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. There's something that happens in that. Again, this is a spiritual battle as well as a fleshly battle, and Satan cannot stand to hear the word of God. And this is, in fact, what our Lord did when he was encountered with Satan's temptations, is he quoted scripture. And that act of memorization is quite powerful to rehabituate the lips. The next thing, something for the hands. Prepare to be underwhelmed. Make the sign of the cross. Sometimes you get pushback from people. I'm 52 years old. And in the era I grew up with, certain practices like this were deemed too Catholic. I didn't know that there was a copyright on making the sign of the cross that Rome had, but this is a powerful part of what we have in our small catechism as Luther instructs us to pray and even to make this sign, tracing our baptism on ourselves. So just even something simple like that, this external movement of the hands involves the entire body and is invoking the reality of our identity. It is a tracing of who we actually are. It is something we do in the liturgy, but as well in moments where we find ourselves faced with temptation. I think there's also something about steering away from idle times. And, you know, the Proverbs, for instance, have so much to teach us about the dangers of idleness and sluggards and napping, a little folding of the hands to rest leads to bad results. So I think part of this is also to just be very aware of how we spend our time. You know, we talk about work-life balance. This is kind of a cultural conversation you hear. And I think what people mean is they want to work less and they want to play more. And we do need rest. We do need a Sabbath to recharge. But scrolling endlessly on your phone is not rest. That's a distraction. And so we have to be aware in this about giving ourselves something to do that is going to take us away from idle times when that's when temptation comes calling. And it may be taking up hobbies that involve doing something productive or making something, working on something, fixing something, restoring something, kind of being the, you know, image bearers of God unto his creation, so forth. And it's also, you know, things such as exercise and getting outside and those types of things. But something for the hands gives us not just a distraction, but actually then retrains us to steer clear of idleness and kind of all that that entails. Something for the mind. This is not just acquiring new information, though that's part of it. I mean, this is why I wrote a book and I'm talking about these things to give people a new, you know, perspective. But it's also for people who struggle with this affliction. For many people, they are engaging in these acts in some ways to maybe deal with a situation in their life, a past trauma, or something that has gone on with them that has left a lingering hurt or a hole in their life. And the research shows that there is a powerful chemical reaction to watching pornography that temporarily gives you some satiation. But then what quickly follows is shame and guilt. But we have to be aware of what's on our mind. So having a kind of an inventory of the things we're thinking about, and I'm not just talking about kind of the warning urges that occur, you know, the rising guilt, maybe even excitement, but also kind of how we speak to ourselves, the stories we tell about ourselves. And this is sometimes talked about as self-talk. And we sometimes don't say very good things about who we are, and we forget our identity in Christ, and we go down some dark paths. A lot of pastors I know, including myself, are prone to some very dark, dark thoughts. And so we have to attend to that. This is very much part of what Paul talks about in Romans 12 when he talks about the renewing of the mind. So it's not just I've got new information. It's actually a new way of not just thinking, but a new way of looking at things that is, you know, flowing out of what Christ has done and, you know, then the Spirit that is given to us, that we actually are new creatures in Christ. So this is very much part of the being attendant to what is going on in our heads that might lead to lust and temptation. And then finally, Todd, something for the heart. All that I say here starts with worship, and it ends with worship. What do I mean by that? Well, very often when people come to you as a pastor, they may be looking for some advice about a life situation. Maybe something's going on and they're not, you know, they need a, you know, some input or what have you. And my standard response to those who aren't regular in worship is go to church. So they may say, I'm having a problem with my marriage, go to church. I'm having, you know, an issue with my boss, go to church. And so it starts there. If you're struggling with this sin, if you're engaged in pornography and you're not attending the divine service, go to church. It starts there. Now, many people I've helped are church attenders. We talked about the statistics last time about how many Christian men are engaged in this, people who regularly attend worship. So there then is also the powerful reminder then, and this is where you can kind of help them connect these dots, that while there may be some shame associated with being in the presence of our Lord when you're engaged in this secret sin, that's where sick sinners go. Sick sinners need medicine. And worship is the place where God delivers the goods. And so we want to encourage people as part of this rehabituation that our heart is actually recalibrated in the divine service, and our whole body, in fact, is involved. You know, the eyes, the, you know, the lips, the hands, the mind, the heart, the nose. So we have this gift where God is delivering himself to us, and this then is very powerful in kind of living out this life of faith in repentance, in seeking that constant refreshment of the words of forgiveness and the sacrament that, you know, sometimes people just need to, if they're not going to church already, even if they are, just to be need to be reminded, hey, this is what you need. People will say, we don't have to go to church, meaning, you know, we're not legalist, or we get to go to church as if, you know, it's something fun. The fact is this, we need it. We need to go to church. We all need it. And I think talking to as a pastor to other pastors too, we need to be reminded of this for ourselves as well, that everyone, especially people struggling with sexual sin, need to be redirected, the heart redirected by what God gives us in the divine service.
Pastor Christopher Heaton is our guest. He's author of Mentioning the Unmentionables. We're discussing help for those struggling with the sin of pornography. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue in Galatians with Christian freedom, the offense of the cross, keep in step with the Spirit, bear one another's burdens, and do good to all. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Easter is a time of hope, renewal, and celebration. At Lutheran Church Extension Fund, we rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise it brings to our hearts. Hi, my name is Rahema Kavuga, Director of Synod Relations at LCEF. From our family to yours, may this Easter season be filled with joy, love, and the blessing of new beginnings. Happy Easter.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is chastity? Chastity can be defined, says Stephanie Neugebauer, as submitting the whole self, particularly one's sexual self, to God's good design and purposes. If you want to learn more about what it means to be chaste, to live a chaste and decent life, pick up your copy of the April issue of the Lutheran Witness, in which we discuss chaste community. Visit cph.org/witness to order a copy, or visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
Welcome back. We're discussing help for those struggling with the sin of pornography. Pastor Christopher Heaton is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Heaton, you also have discussed kind of refocusing on the beauty of creation. Tell us about that.
Well, this is the part where we as Christian parents, as Christian grandparents, is more aspirational, but rooted in it is the concern that we see all around us. So how do we protect our children and grandchildren from this? And part of that then is in the home is doing some of these same things that I just described for the individual penitent, inculcating these things proactively in our home. There is no more important job for a human creature to do than to be a husband and wife, mother and father. So we are to look for every opportunity we have in our homes to inculcate God's goodness, truth, and beauty predicated on the mercy of Christ, but that are the little hearts and minds that we are, humanly speaking, forming and shaping are directed towards beauty through beautiful art and music, and we watch. So there's a technology surveying that needs to occur. So we have to assess, what are we watching? Do we have screens in every room in the house? Are we ourselves as parents preoccupied with our technology? It's also assessing kind of where technology lives with respect to our kids. No bedrooms, no bathrooms, no dark basements. You know, there should be common spaces for our technology. we also as parents need Sabbath rest from our technology for sure and monitor our own behaviors. In the book, I get into some of the resources you can use to kind of protect content flowing in and out. But positively, to your question then, it is emphasizing and teaching what is good and true. So it's catechesis. It's time together, talking as a family, living and laughing together as a family. It's worshiping together. It's moms and dads doing what God has given them to do. It's the head of the household, the father, saying no when that is the word that's needed. And it's for mom and dad to be on the same page. But it ultimately is to celebrate what is good and true. One of the aha moments for me when my oldest daughter was fairly little, is my wife and I we'd put her to bed and we would watch TV downstairs and we would use the baby monitor. And we had taught her some hymns. She was probably three or so. And she was singing one of these hymns while we were watching a program. It really wasn't God-pleasing. We were convicted by that. And I think parents can relate to that. So the positive aspect is train up a child in the way that you want them to go. And that's being intentional about what they're around and what their eyes see. And also being intentional about what you yourself as a parent are doing. But there's a lot more to it than that, of course, but I think it always starts with, like I said, a life of worship that then flows into a good devotional life at home and just an inculcation of beauty.
For many young men, pornography has become a substitute for not only real relationships but for even wanting to find a relationship and a spouse. Address that pastorally, if you would.
Yeah, so this is something that I intentionally try to do in all the catechesis that I do, especially with young people. So I actually have right now three young men that I am teaching after worship on Sundays, and they're from unchurched homes. And so as I'm teaching them about the faith, about Christ, about all the things that maybe you normally would, one of the things I talk about, and I think it's really important to hear from male figures to other male figures, is the importance and the value of marriage and family. So actually talking about what it will be like one day for you gentlemen to be husbands, what it will be like to be fathers, how you are to prepare for that. Of course, tying it into the catechesis of the church, but making sure that they hear from me, their pastor, that this is a good that God has ordained, that the thing is more important than, as I said earlier, than these callings as husband, as father, and that they just need to hear this from other people around them to give them encouragement, the actual courage to take on these roles and not look to avoid it or not to adopt the world's, narrative with respect to sexuality or even just stuff like, dating or hooking up or whatever the case is, but that they actually are encouraged by me that this is something that Christian men aspire to do. And I think that's very important for pastors to directly say this. I know it was lacking in my upbringing, and it was, looking back, something that was much needed.
Pastor Christopher Heaton is pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fulton, Missouri. He's author of the book Mentioning the Unmentionables, Naming the Corrosive Threat to Our Lives Together and a Faithful Response in the Body of Christ. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Pastor Heaton, thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Friday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss limited atonement with Dr. Jordan Cooper, and we'll continue our series, Kids Have Questions, with Pastor Jonathan Connor. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio. Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.